The title of the message today is Rewards of Fasting. We're in a season of Lent, and we're titling A Season of Spiritual Abundance. And last week, we talked about abounding through abstaining, And I hope this morning we have some clarity about how we want to go about this. So let me go ahead and frame this up. Before I jump into the points here, here's a little bit of an introduction. There are many physical benefits. How many of you know? You can look up here. There's physical benefits to human body going through a time of fasting and abstaining from food. And there's all kinds of ways to go about altering a diet for health purposes. Abstaining, for instance, from all things white, like sugar and bread or rice or processed wheat products or things in the category of junk food. How many of you know that those things can create an addiction? And to sustain, abstain from that helps to cleanse the body and promote physical health, right? There are juice fasts, a means of ridding the body of toxins and empowering the body to promote health in itself. And for the sake of physical benefits, fasting is a healthy activity for building our immunity against sickness and disease. It's in this way, abstaining from unhealthy or processed food products gives the body a break so that it can renew itself. In a similar manner, when you alter your mental diet of toxic intake and give your mind a break from unhealthy or negative thinking, you give your soul a fighting chance to lay hold of the victorious life that Jesus has given us in relationship to Him. And so this is what we're into, but I want to talk specifically about, by the way, you know this, when you what you think about the most has the most influence on you, right? So we need to have time set aside where we commune with the Lord, enter into a deeper time, change and alter something. When you change something, you give an opportunity. When you remove something from your life for a season, you discover the benefits of other healthy possibilities. And now that's the physical side. But what I want to talk about is the spiritual side. So that little introduction will say, hey, there's a lot of good stuff about physical fasting over here. And that'll probably happen as you go along the path. But let's talk about over here. And Jesus punctuates the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He punctuates it with this thing. Now, if anybody says, if you're wise, if you have ears to hear and you're a wise man, you'll build your house upon the rock. He says, you'll dig down deep and lay a strong foundation. Leading up to that point, he talked about a lot of powerful spiritual disciplines. Three of them he talked about in the same exact line of thinking, starting in Matthew 6. I want to summarize this real quick as we move into the nature of what we have for the body of our information today. What he said was giving, praying, and fasting. He talked about them almost the same. He says, don't be like the hypocrites who do it for outward show. That's how he, each one of these. He says, but when you do it, for instance, with giving, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, which would be like a really bad piano player. But he says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. In other words, give in secret, give hidden. You know, do this where the Father sees. Everybody say, and when the Father sees, He'll reward you. And so there's rewards of giving in secret. There's rewards. Not saying, look, we're giving all this amount and getting and we're not giving unto men, even though you give to men, we're giving, as we do it, we're giving unto God, right? Even the tithe, it's an amazing thing. In Hebrews, it explains that when the men bring the tithe to the place and hand it to men, the scripture says, the Lord receives it unto himself. That is to the Lord. So we're standing in a place. So the Lord is looking upon your heart, and He sees what you're doing. How many of you are so happy that He sees what you're doing when you're doing right? How many? A couple of high bends. The average person always thinks, I love what you said that time. He says, the Lord is, when I'm doing wrong, I feel like He's all over me. When I'm doing right, I can't find Him. That's a paraphrase. But that's not true, because Jesus taught, when you give, when you're giving, He sees, He's watching, and He rewards. And then it says, He's the same thing about praying. He says, when you're praying, don't get up there on the street corner and like a big hypocrite so people can see. Do all this, and He breaks that down the same way. He says, go into a place where nobody can see you. Spend your time in prayer, and the Father who looks upon you in the secret place will reward you openly. Hallelujah. Then he says about fasting, the same thing. Don't disfigure your face. Don't do all this stuff. It says disfigure, but in other words, don't look like you're fasting. Don't walk, oh, my God, I'm fasting. Don't drawing attention to yourself. Oh, I'm just about to eat this desk. Oh, that's not the kind of thing. I can't believe how hungry I am. I'm fasting for the Lord. No, you're fasting under these men here. That's not the kind. He says, don't let anybody know. Now, we're declaring a 40-day fast. We're declaring it. And so that you can pray and ask the Lord. And we've done this in times past, but this one's different. There's a breath of the Lord calling us. I want to tell you something. A person that a 3-day fast is a piece of cake, nothing to it. You know, they've built up their... It may not be looked at the same way as a person who gives up cookies, who's like dying. Because the Lord sees the sacrifice and he sees the heart and he sees what's really going on in the stretch of the soul, right? And he rewards openly. He goes, there's a big cookie in heaven. I'm just pulling your leg. I don't know. Have a little fun with this because, you know, I can preach on fasting and you'll be hungry before we leave. I already know. I know how this works. I was preaching on fasting last Sunday and my stomach was growling. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what are you doing? You never growl. You're preaching on fasting. I'm supposed to. No, it was a mess. I hope it didn't get on the CD. You know, but anyway. But he says, if you do these three things. Now, there's more in the Sermon on the Mount. But if you do these three things. This is, and ultimately, here's the deal. Ultimately, fasting is a way to begin cleansing your life from stuff, right? And the essence of Lent is all, historically, has always been about abstaining from something to draw close to God. That's the essence of this. In the earlier days with the church fathers and different ones over seasons of church history, it was coming up on the time of celebrating. And we know that the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. Just go ahead and tell somebody he's the only one that's ever pulled this off. Go ahead. There's one Savior. And he rose from the dead and broke the power of death. He broke the power of sin. They broke sin's power, even though we're in its presence. He broke its power to rule in the soul. And so we have a Savior risen from the dead. And that saving power, when he rose from the dead, is what we receive to rise up in the situations in life. It's by his active grace and resurrection life in us. That, you know, you've had some of it where something that used to be pulling on you so strong doesn't have the grip anymore. That what was of sin that took you to death now is broken. And you walk out into life and you mature in the grace of God, right? Because of the resurrection power of Jesus. Fasting gives you that added oomph. Fasting can accelerate. Like we said last week, fasting can make it faster. It can speed up the impact. So let's go ahead and look at point number one. Number one, fasting is a means. By the way, this is fasting is a means. Fasting unto God is a means by which? Number one, spiritual hunger is expressed and satisfied. Spiritual hunger is expressed and satisfied. It was an amazing, amazing experience in Peter's life. And I remember being in the bus and looking at the house where it all happened, historically, in Joppa. Because there was this man, his name's Cornelius, and he was lost. He was a Roman. But he would pray and give alms. And he was seeking the Lord for a season. And at that time, I'll tell you what, I'll just run to the scripture because you and I are going to look at that. In fact, I have here's what happens. Peter's on the roof, and when I was reading this, I felt this was my humor in it, so there's going to be humor in this message. Peter is on the roof, and it says he was very hungry, and he fell into a trance. And I thought that was low blood sugar. I just did. And so maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was. You know, I don't know. But he's on the roof. And then he starts seeing these sheets being lifted down to the heavens with these pigs in them and unclean animals. And the Holy Spirit says, rise and eat. And he goes, I can't do that because of Jewish tradition. You don't eat anything that's considered unclean animal. He does this thing three times. It's three times that you have the same vision. And the Lord says, don't declare unclean what I've declared clean. Aren't you glad you get to eat bacon? Okay. So I knew there was going to be some humor in here. We're talking about fasting and we're talking about bacon. Okay. So, no bacon. Okay. So, it says, I fasted everything but bacon. All right. So, yeah, bacon. Don't be a pig. Okay. So here's Cornelius now, and he's seeking the Lord. And Peter goes through this, and then there's a knock at the door, and these men show up, and they take him all the way to Cornelius' house because the Holy Spirit tells him, go downstairs. There's some men waiting for you. And he goes there, and the scriptures that you have on your page is what happens next. Peter shows up in front of Cornelius. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, if I write it, look at that, I was what? Ah, there it is. He had a spiritual hunger being expressed, and the Lord is satisfying it. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send, therefore, to Joppa and call Simon. By the way, I'm continuing. Simon, whose surname is Peter, he is lodging at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have come. Well done, well to come. Now, therefore, here's what he says. Look at this heart. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And, of course, you know what happens next. Peter begins to preach, and I just love this because he doesn't finish the message. It's like the Holy Spirit is impatient. This is a pivotal point in human history. Because Cornelius fasted, you're here today. So the Holy Spirit said, before you say amen, I'm just going to fall on him right now. And the Holy Spirit comes and wraps his arms around everybody in the room. And they begin to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the prayer languages, and begin to prophesy to one another. And Peter goes back to the Jerusalem council and lets them know, this is what happened. And because he walked with Jesus for 3 years, and Jesus pulled him back out of that whole denial thing and set him up, and he had a kind of a kaboom on the day of Pentecost, he was pretty much a voice. And when the Lord dealt with Peter, everybody got the ideas. He said, we're not going to hold the gospel to those who practice Jewish law. It's going out. And because of Cornelius had a hunger. Cornelius was a lost man with a hunger for God. How many Muslims today? There's a movement like crazy. God loves the Muslims. It's the Islam part. That's the challenge. Because it's the wrong God at the top. But their love of God for the people is phenomenal. I talked with Marisa, chatted with Marisa. She was our next door neighbor. You know Marisa? And she was the same age as you, honey, Emmy. And we would pray for her and stuff. Well, she, for some reason, coming up on an Easter, she and a friend of hers made a decision. And they decided they would fast partying for 40 days. They would fast. Now, whatever partying is involved in, there's a lot of stuff. There's all kinds of negative consequences to your life when you open those types of doors. So she says, why don't we fast all that has to do with partying? At the end of the 40 days, her and her friend went to his church, heard the gospel, and received Jesus Christ. Fasting is a means by which your spiritual hunger is expressed and satisfied. Snuck number two. Fasting is a means by which direction from God is revealed. Direction from God is revealed. I was talking to a young man the other day, and he's asking, you know, what's God's will for my life? How many of you know how American that is? It's always about me. What's God's will for me, my life? I said, you know what? I know what his will is. What? That people be touched through your life. That people come close to Jesus through your life. That you abstain from things that soil you. And do you walk close to Him? Can I get more specific about about God's will? God's will is that you live to the praise of His glory. And if you do everything that you do, you put your hands to it as if you're doing it unto Jesus Christ. You want me to tell you about the will of God? I'll tell you about the will of God. It's not about you being in transition forever, wondering what you're supposed to do next. It's about putting your hand to the things that promote His will. That's what the will of God is. And then you discover, wow, your gifts start to arise. What you're about begins to happen and manifest. You go, I know what the will of God is. You start thinking and hearing and acting and responding like the Lord would have you do because you're picking up His heart. That's the will of God. Is that right? I just preached myself very happily inside. And I felt like the young man got something. I felt like something went in that he was like breaking all that me, 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 me. God, 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 God. How big is your God? You seem to be so much bigger in your own mind. It's true. You run into so many people, their problems are so gigantic. So fasting, let's back up. Fasting, Jesus is with this person, this woman at the well, and the disciples show up. And they say, are you hungry? And He says, I have food to eat that you do not know of. My meat is to do the will of the Father. So Jesus is in a fasted state, receives a word of knowledge to a woman before He even does the public proclamation of His ministry. He's having a revival in Samaria. And then He says, don't say that the harvest will be 4 months from now. Don't say that. Say this. He says, look, they're already white for harvest now. And He says, earnestly pray that laborers will be sent into the field. Earnestly pray. And so now we have, years later, Paul is with Silas. And in chapter 3 of Acts, we have Paul, and he says, now there, I'm going to read the first verse, you guys have the second too. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manian, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while, here's what you have. Ready? And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I just want to go ahead and tell you that the Holy Spirit said happens a lot stronger when your flesh is out of the way. They're worshiping, they're ministering to the Lord. Another version says they're ministering to the Lord, worshiping, they're ministering to the Lord with fasting, for it written that way. And the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So direction from God is tied to God's purposes in the earth. That God's direction is tied to God's will. And God's will is tied to His purpose. Is that right? Can I just go ahead and tell you His will, even the word will has to do with a certain pleasure. It's not really a command. The word will, thalema, it means that there's a pleasure. And God wants to see you have pleasure. How many of you have had pleasure watching what Jesus has done and you have an impact on others? There's a pleasure that comes via the expression of the will of God. That people be blessed because you are there. It was about, what year was it? Let's see. I forget when it was, but Heather and I were 10 years into our marriage, and it wasn't going well. It was going really bad. And we've repented to our daughter because she didn't have the best parents at that time. Because we were locked into some things that were just really, really devastating. And Pastor Jack at the church on the way, during the time of Lent, asked everybody to fast something. Everybody fast something. That was more or less the word that went out. Heather asked the Lord, what would you like for me to fast? This is between her and Jesus. was between me and Jesus, telling her what to do. It was between her and the Lord. And the Lord said to her, fast wine with dinner. Just fast, do the use of wine. Okay? Simple. So Heather said, I remember I was there the day she was pouring it down the sink and through the bottles in the trash can on Valerio Street, in the trash can in the garage. And she was serious. And she said, the Lord spoke to me and said to fast wine. So she did. So she's going through this time, these 40 days. And then there was took a flight out to Texas, visited with some friends. They had dinner one night. They had wine. Heather said, no, the Lord has instructed me. Isn't it amazing how an opportunity always comes? When you say you're going to fast something, something always shows up and says, well, maybe not today. Don't let the conviction get you too heavy. But, you know, there's things that we say we'll do, and then God love wants to fine-tune us. And Heather stuck to her guns, and so she said, I'm going to go ahead and not have that. She gets on the plane. Another friend back in California had given her a book. The book was Love is a Choice. She's on the plane reading the book on the way back, looking over the different chapter titles and reading the opening, the introduction, and the first part of the book there, and comes to realize that the Lord was very strategic at saying, take the wine and abstain from that because I'm going to reveal something. And he revealed to Heather that she was the adult child of an alcoholic. And there was a generational propensity for a massive dysfunction and ruination of family. And she turned her life around because the Lord opened up. And you are a beneficiary to the discipleship programs because the direction of God came into the heart of a person who abstained from something during a 40-day fast. And now health can be promoted and promoted and promoted because fasting released a point of hope and help in her soul, in our marriage, and began to be a foundation for a direction that begin to be multiplied in the lives of others. Is anybody here happy besides me? Thank you, honey, for having obeyed the Holy Spirit. Had she not obeyed the Holy Spirit, that wouldn't have worked, right? We could be divorced. We could be whatever. We could maybe never made it. Maybe God would have used some other means. But because it was the season and because she responded to the Holy Spirit, blessing happened in our life. And how many of you know, it's like I said, it's the one thing, bringing the one thing. That's called a partial fast. She didn't go without food for 40 days. She just did one thing. Obedience in one area. Can you hear the Holy Spirit? Respond to the one thing. What is the one thing he's saying to abstain from? What is it? See, what is that one thing? And there's breakthrough and release, and there are things that will come into your life because of it. Are you there? And lastly, I told myself I wouldn't do this, but I tell you, I was like, where is that one? Here you go, lastly. Ready? Fasting is a means by which the Holy Spirit, by which spiritual insight and warfare are accomplished. Spiritual insight and warfare are accomplished. Daniel is our guy on this one. Cornelius for the first point. Paul and Silas for the second point. Our man for this point is Daniel. And I want you to see that your fasting can be translated into spiritual insight. Spiritual warfare can be accomplished through your life. There may be things that need to be defeated, that this season will defeat them for good. Can turn the corner. Are you hearing me? Yes. That's why this is important. Now, why I went to Daniel here, I was looking at, I even looked at Ezra and Nehemiah and their fasting. Well, the impetus of their fasting came out of Daniel fasting because the 70 years of captivity was up. And somehow, Daniel was doing the math and realized we're at the end of the season of captivity. And he entered into a prayer time. And this verse here says, Daniel 9, verse 3, "Then I turned my face to the Lord, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes." And the prayers go along these lines. We are a wicked people. You set aside this time for, you know, basically for chastening. It's been accomplished. You are righteous. We are of shame of face. You are the one that has done right. You are the God of glory. You that rule the nations. We are the ones that have royally messed up in front of you. We have shame of face. Come and cleanse us. Come and heal us. Come and change this season. Let this do what it's, you know. And then we have this experience. Daniel, in the next verse here, Daniel 9:21 says, "While I was speaking in prayer," you can go through and see the whole flow of this, "the man Gabriel," so now we have this angel showing up, "whom I have seen in a vision at first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice." And so now we have an encounter with spiritual insight. You know what that spiritual insight was? This is the place in the Bible where this prophetic key is given that unlocks understanding in the book of Revelation. It's the whole concept behind the 70 weeks. That without what God gave Daniel of spiritual insight, there are so many things that wouldn't make any sense at all down the road. It's really a remarkable thing. He comes in and gives him the overview prophetically of what's going to happen in the earth. Jesus refers to it some. So you have this picture. Extraordinary. He's fasting. He's seeking the Lord. And in the midst of that, and there's an impetus of breaking forth this people out of that place to go back and rebuild. And all that other stuff sets in motion. But this happens in the midst of that. How many of you know that God can do more than one thing at once? He can give you revelation of things and for your life and for people around you because you seek him in prayer. But now we go to chapter 10. In chapter 10, this is another time. Look at this, guys. "I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. This is a partial fast. He's in a partial fast. He's taken this time, 3 weeks, and before the Lord, denying himself to seek the Lord. Okay? What happens? Now, I have the whole thing written here. I have a portion of a few, but I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing. Daniel 10 through 14. "And behold, a hand touched me, and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And they said to me, O Daniel," look at this, the angel comes and says, "O Daniel, man greatly loved, understand the words that I speak to you." How affirming. "And stand upright, for now I have been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And then he said to me, Fear not," this is in your notes, "fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humbled yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Everybody say, "But Michael." "But Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision for days is yet to come." How about that? So here we have Daniel starts praying and enters into a partial fast. And the angel comes through. Maybe it's because he got through last time and they realized what's coming on here. And they build up a big fortress to stop him. Does that sound anything like what could happen in our city? How are you there? That there's spiritual things? When Larry Bazette comes next Sunday evening, we want to invite us. I want to invite you to fast this week and be praying about this because there's a warfare. Everybody say the spirit of mammon. Do you think we can have success? Yes. Okay. Let's allow the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not trying to promote anything out of a sense of frenzy or emotional buildup. I want to just say, Holy Spirit, speak to your people. Let there come spiritual hunger that is expressed and satisfied. Let there come direction from you, and let there come spiritual insight and warfare that shifts things. Can we do this together? How many times over the years we've done a 3-day fast? I got weaker and weaker at them. I'm not as fast of a faster as I used to be. Well, your body's changed. There's things you go through. There's stuff, you know, maybe I'm not making excuses, but I just know that there's things that, seasons and times. Ultimately, can I tell you, ultimately, the fast is not, is God's ultimate goal with fasting is that you live a fasted life. That the kingdom of God can move through you, and that there's not all this stuff it keeps running into. That the goal is that you show up and the Lord's presence and work and shows up, and you, because you live a life where you're not indulging all this stuff mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you live a life that's fasted unto the Lord. So that just the going of staying from food is merely a reflection of getting to the roots of those things, so that you can live a way that God can move through you regardless, because you're available all the time. Does that make sense? That's the goal. Would you just set your, I don't know, we prayed earlier, lifting our hands before the Lord, and I felt the Lord just releasing an empowerment and just sense of refreshing. Would you just, on your breath, just kind of begin a holy murmur of praise and adoration before the Lord, and let Him empower you even now. There's decisions. Yeah, you know, so I feel like I'm supposed to say, yes, that was me. Somebody, you need to hear the words. Yes, that was me from the Lord. You were asking, was that what you... that when I was supposed to fast? Yes, that was me. The Lord wants you to know, yes, you can go ahead with assurance and respond to Him and say, yes, now I'll be with you in that. Because it's about being closer to the Lord. It's about drawing near to Him. You're drawing, and in the vulnerability and that sense of, I need you, Lord, more because I've changed this habit right now, and it was your comfort zone for me, but now I'm changing it. I need more of you, Jesus. Let's let a hunger rise up in us right now. Lord, how many times have we been with somebody who's been in bondage and we've said the words, you can push a pebble, but a big stone, you might need some help. And Lord, we come together as a congregation. We want to see a big stone moved. So I'm inviting those who are here, those within earshot, to respond, that let's do this as a group and push this thing out of the way. We pray. Let's praise Him. I pray. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lean in, lean in. Embrace the Lord. Let Him strengthen you. Let Him clarify. Let Him speak. There's a joy in the heart of the Lord. There's a joy. The Lord is happy about the idea that you would express hunger so He can satisfy something. There are things in our lives that we allow to fill us up that are really not doing the job. The Lord says, I want to do the job in you. I want to create that dynamic in you. Will you turn to Him for that? There are things that He wants to roll out of the way that have been in your way. Fears, things, whatever. He just says, I want to push that out of the way. And corporately, I just sense this. I sense this, and we need to do this together. Let's encourage each other in it. Not like we're going to disfigure our faces like a bunch of Pharisees because we're in this together. But we want to say there's something to set aside for this season. And when we do it, guys, it could be as simple as I'm not going to say certain words anymore. The Lord might say to you, quit saying this. And you're fasting a bondage that you've given death, life in your spirit because you're saying something over and over and over. And the Lord says, stop saying that. That's your fast. And if you can stop, if you will say, Holy Spirit, help me not say that anymore, the Lord will deliver your whole family. He'll work and do things so much superior to what you thought you were about. The Lord wants to get at the things. How many know that John the Baptist came and said, Jesus has come to put the axe to the root? And roots produce fruit. And the Lord desires that there come a cutting away of something that was hindering you. Let's praise Him again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many receive that? You know, changing your focus back is actually done very simply. It's focusing on something else. Do what the Lord says, and then you get the release, the obedience. Bringing every thought into obedience of Jesus Christ. Wherever you have wavered or waffled, so to speak, just receive the strength of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's funny. The moment people make, I've done it before, the moment I make a decision that I'm going to live a certain way before the Lord when nobody's looking, there's just things that show up in your mind. Things that get in the way to try to take that apart. But right now before the Lord, you can make a decision and respond to the Holy Spirit. And when you're alone, that won't come down. Can I invite you to stand your ground? Invite you to stand your ground during this season. And let's do it together as a band of warriors together. Can we do that? Hallelujah. I think we've gotten out what we've needed to get out there and allow the Holy Spirit to do the things that He wants to do. This is a powerful season. I believe we're going to see some things shift. Hallelujah. How many of you know we all need to encourage each other? I want to go ahead and tell you right now, my job is not being your conscience. That we just go ahead and empower the Holy Spirit. How many of you have figured this out? That the Lord is much more forgiving than you ever have been or ever will be. Start fresh. Start fresh. Start. His mercies are new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and stand together. We have those praying on the platform. And let's come to an end of our service. By the way, we have goodies over here. If the Lord has said to fast something else than those, go eat those, okay? For someone, it will be a great opportunity for obedience. That's right there, right there. Is there bacon? That's funny. That's funny. Hallelujah. Let's lift our heads to the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's love on each other, church.